Hey, thanks for Thanks for downloading the show. This is Garden Fork Radio, the eclectic DIY show. It's me, Eric, and my friends talking about what we hope are interesting things. Eclectic DIY. I also have a YouTube channel by the same name, similar kind of thing. Today, my friend Nicole is here. We're going to talk about 13 lessons to make you really, truly happy, maybe. And then we're going to go from there because that's how we are here. So welcome, Nicole.
Hey, how's it going?
We're good. It's the morning, and that's actually the best time for me to podcast. So here we are.
Yeah, just get it out of the way. And then I'll feel like we did something today. So
I've also found that I try and make a plan almost every day to meet with somebody because I work from home alone. And it gives me something to look forward to, and it kind of breaks up the day. So at noon, a buddy of mine works at a museum nearby here, and I'm going to go run over there, and we're going to have lunch in the cafeteria.
Oh, that's great. Well, I've mentioned Seth, this guy I used to follow who unfortunately died. He was a personal self-experimenter, N equals one kind of guy. And he had a thing that seeing faces of other people in the morning increases your mood. And so he, even watching the TV, there's something about like seeing other people's faces. So I think you're onto something. People are important. And in fact, that's one of the things on our list to make you happy.
Oh, cool. Because people are like, why do you live in New York? I'm like, because I like people. And I get up, I can make a cup of tea, and we're getting ready to go walk the dogs in the park and let them run. But I can step out my front door. You know, I have it's a brownstone. It has a stoop and a little garden in the front. And I'll see two or three people that are my neighbors, and I can say hello and good morning. And that, I think, is really important. It makes me happy.
Yeah. Number 9, don't go it alone. Humans need other people.
Boom. All right. So I am, I guess this is kind of, I think Garden Fork Radio is, I don't think we're like a lot of hippie woo kind of stuff, but there is a wellness aspect to the show. I do have depression. I've talked about, I'm on an antidepressant right now, which I talked about in a previous show, and I got a lot of positive feedback about that. And I think, you know, it's a whack world out there, as we know. And I run across these articles that I think Nicole and I might want to talk about, and Nicole does the same thing. So we have a texting thing. We send each other articles. So this is one that popped up. Did you find this one? I think you sent this to me.
No, I think you found this one. But I love Pocket. I mean, you sent it to me on Pocket, and I always forget about Pocket, which is an app where you can save articles you want to read for later. Now, I have an aspirational list of articles to read for later. But you seem like you're actually actively using it, which is smart. And it does seem to get around some paywalls on some sites, so you can save it to Pocket and then go read it. I think maybe the Wall Street Journal is an option like that.
Yes.
Which is nice.
Pocket is baked into Firefox.
Oh.
And if you can set your preferences for when it opens up a home page or whenever you start up the app or when you open a new tab, you can tell it to open up the Pocket home page.
Mm-hmm.
And so all of a sudden, these articles, which you have already said, I wanna see some culture, I wanna see some home improvement articles. It surfaces articles that it might think you're interested in. And they're not clickbaity articles. They're not from MSN.com, in other words.
Well, they're real articles, right?
Right.
So the one that you found is from Outside Magazine, which we subscribe to this because I do think their articles are good. And so this one is 13 Lessons to Make You Really, Truly Happy, Maybe. And the TLDR is happiness isn't a feeling, it's a practice, right?
Yes.
But I think when I read that, I thought a lot about my kids because, you know, that is a refrain I have. Like, I just want you to be happy. I want to set you up for success. But what does that mean? It is a practice. I want you to practice being happy. I want you to practice doing things that make you feel better, feel good, but not drugs. Just bring that up. Not drugs.
Yeah, in my meditation practice, I use the Headspace app, and Andy is the lead guy there, but he has other people doing the meditations as well. And they're all about reframing how you're looking at things. And I do know that like depression and mental health issues can cloud that, and it's a hard challenge sometimes. I've been there. But in the day to day, sometimes you can just stand back and rethink how you're shaping some scenario in your head, you know?
Well, I've got two things on that. A phrase I read someplace was respond, don't react.
That's what Rick said.
Oh, it was Rick. Listen to me quoting Rick to Rick. Rick, do you see that? But I've been using that like on and on. And another one is asking somebody when they're upset, do you want hu a hug? Do you want help? Or do you want to be heard?
Ooh.
Right?
I'm not a big hugger, by the way. Okay? If you
Oh,
ever
you're not a
meet me,
hugger.
if ever anyone ever meets me, don't hug me. It makes
Okay,
me
do you
feel
how do
very
you signal
awkward.
that to people? Do you signal that to people? Like, will you
Well,
do a fist bump or will you handshake or are you just like go get
about
them?
6 feet away when we're meeting, I go, hey, and I kind of wave my hand. It's an open hand, kind of like at shoulder height, and I just go, hi, how are you? It's good to see you. And then I stay that far away.
See, I'm glad to know that because if we ever do meet, I would come in for the hug.
Oh.
Yeah, I'm a hugger. Does that surprise you?
No, but that I would hug you, but I won't hug Rick.
Oh.
So
Oh my God. Okay, all right. All right, so should we run through the things in the article?
yeah.
Okay, number one, if you're happy, then you probably know it. So clap your hands. I do try to take note of the moments when I'm happy. I'm like, oh, I feel happy right now. Things are good.
Yeah, Monday I felt really happy, and I'm like, oh wow, this is what it's like.
Yeah, it feels good, right? I think I told Eric and Rick, but we lost my mother-in-law about a month ago suddenly. And so I was, the boys don't really understand. I don't really understand. But there is a part of me that's like, well, if we didn't have this extreme sadness, we wouldn't have the happiness, right?
Right.
Yin and yang.
You want to go on to number two?
The great bulk of happiness science doesn't measure happiness.
Huh.
I thought that was funny.
It's hard to measure. I mean, you know, the scientists have these MRI machines, and they see your brain, parts of your brain lighting up, but it's a rather nebulous. It's hard to measure, you know?
Are you saying it's like pornography? We know it when we see it.
Yeah.
Oh, intimacy harks back to intimacy. Oh, infancy. Put your glasses on, Nicole.
Yeah.
Intimacy harks back to infancy. So, attachment theory, like this idea of like how things went with your parents when you were a child, inform your relationships going forward.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Totally. Yeah.
Yeah, my parents are pretty good, so I came out pretty good. So.
I had great parents. You can read all about my childhood in my book, but
Yeah.
they weren't, well, they had other issues, but they were great parents. Mostly.
I think number four is huge, and I have observed it firsthand. Those who come into loads of money are no happier than folks that don't. This researcher postulates that at about $75,000 a year is a maximum amount of money in which you are happy. Any money over that does not make you any more happy. So winning the lottery is not going to solve your depression. In New York here, I have worked for some very wealthy people in various capacities, and they actually seem more unhappy than your regular salaried people. You know, I've seen it in person, and I'm like, they're just a wreck.
Well, I would say there's like, what's the opposite of a corollary or like an ancillary? I don't know. Is, however, if you have a problem that can be solved with money, you don't have a problem.
Right.
So there is some, I mean, 75 grand in New York City or in DC really won't do it, but I get their point.
Yeah. Happiness is as slippery as a greased boar. Buying bright, shiny things won't get us to the promised land. No.
Yeah, don't consume. Yeah, and nothing like emptying out a person's apartment to realize that, right? Like
Yeah.
this, all this stuff, and it actually has made me start doing serious purging of our house. We have too much stuff.
Yeah, I'm still purging, and I've been talking about it on the podcast for about 5 years now. Hey, real quick, one easy way to support Garden Fork is if you're going to shop online and use Amazon, please use the link to our storefront. The link is in the show notes here. If you click on that, it'll open it up in your web browser. If you're on a laptop or desktop, it will open it up into your app, ideally, if you're using the Amazon mobile app. Please shop locally. I go to my local hardware store first. If I can't find it there, then I go to the orange or blue store. If I can't find it there, then I order it online. So if you are shopping online, use our Amazon link, amazon.com/shop/gardenfork. The link is also in the show notes. Thank you. Oh, we're going to go off on a tangent, then we'll get back to the article. But the other day, my friend Gabe from the Save It for Parts YouTube channel was on the show. Mm-hmm. And he's amazing. He's building these satellite antenna things so he can download radio transmissions from satellites, from NASA and these people. And he is a collector of stuff, but I think it's a lot of practical stuff that he's going to use going forward. And I said to him, I said, you know, I'm downsizing my electronics and video and all this stuff. How about I just throw a bunch of it in a box for you and send it to you? He said, sure. So I had a Canon camcorder, which is still a very nice camera. I just wasn't using it anymore. It's too big for me. It shoots in 16:9 HD, has a really nice microphone with it and batteries and this. And I put it all in a box and I have a bunch of, there was cables I didn't need. There were some Wi-Fi transmitters, some Ethernet hubs, and stuff that I wanted to give it away to someone that I knew would want to use it rather than just putting it on the stoop. And I threw it all in a box and sent it to Gabe, and he opened it up yesterday and he was so happy.
Oh, that's so fun.
So everyone, send your stuff to Gabe in Minnesota.
Oh, God.
He's going to come back on the show. So we'll see what happens there.
Oh, that's great. I love it. I did that once to my sister. Well, I actually sent all of our extra cables to my nephew who loves cables. I mean, he was a little guy then. I don't know, 7. And I timed it so she got a box every day for a week.
Oh, wow.
She was about to kill me. I mean, it was the best practical joke. And actually, my nephew loved the cables.
You know, if it works, what the heck?
What the heck? All right. But that, you know, brought me a lot of happiness. I don't know about my sister.
Number 6. Happiness isn't a feeling, it's a practice.
Yeah, I think that's the TLDR of this one.
Yeah, it's sometimes I kind of just stop and I go, okay, so here's an example. I reacted rather than responding. There was on the 4th Avenue is almost a highway in Brooklyn. Okay. And they built a set aside bike lane on 4th Avenue. So you've got the sidewalk and the curb, then you have a bike lane, then you have parking, parked cars, and then the two lanes and the two travel lanes have been narrowed down. So it's a set aside bike lane, and there are different ways. There are unfortunately unkind people who block the bike lane with their truck or whatever, and they don't care because they want to go to the deli or whatever. And I come up on 4th Avenue, like 45th Street, and there's a giant RV blocking the bike lane. And I am proactive. So I got off my bike and it's this New York State court system legal help van. And it's sponsored by some philanthropy, which I will go look up. And so I knock on the door. No one answers. I open the door and this, you know, like 25-year-old guy is there and he's like, hey, what are you doing? I said, hey man, you're blocking the bike lane. And he basically said, stuff it. So instead of responding, I reacted in kind with something that I think gave him pause, and then I just closed the door and walked away. But it started to grind on me And I was like, I should have said this, I should have done
Right,
that, you
right.
know. And why is a group that wants to help people hurting people? Because he's like, you just have to swerve out into Fourth Avenue. And I'm like, yeah, and
Yeah.
die, you know. I'm like, the irony is he's a lawyer trying to help people, and yet he's actually harming people. So that grounded on me for about half the day, and I finally stepped back and I called Rick. And I said, Rick, I reacted rather than responded. And he thought it was very funny.
Oh.
But it made me laugh, and then it didn't grind on me anymore. So
Yes.
you have to pause, perhaps share it with someone or meditate about, you know, take and then it was out of my the hamster wheel stopped.
Yeah, you were able to let it go.
Yeah. So and that was basically a practice rather than I had to work on it.
So, my New Year's resolution this year, New Year's resolution, is to not honk at anybody. So, when
Oh.
you're sitting at a light and somebody's not going, I just sit there. And at first you feel this real anxiety well up in you, and you get that really wound up feeling, and then you don't honk, so you're still stuck with that. And then eventually people put down their phone and they go, and it releases, and it's like, oh. But it's been a really good exercise for me to like feel that anger or that upsetness and then let it go and realize like it's no big deal. It's really no big deal. It's 15 seconds. Meh.
I'm going to scan past a couple of these. It says gratitude is the killer happy app, but don't overdo it. I mean, you know, that can't be grat can't be have a gratitude about everything every day because you wouldn't get anything done.
Right. The Stoics say to like take a minute or like 5 minutes every day and, you know, be grateful and then move on.
Embrace your angst. You know, there are emotions. You're not suppressing your emotions. You're just like recognizing them.
Right.
It's called noting in meditation. Don't go it alone. We work we're ultra social and wired to connect, in other words. One research found us to be a reconciling species. In other words, we can apologize.
Oh.
On being here now, mindfulness, in other words, has become kind of a panacea, it says, for all that ails the psyche, and for good reason. Focusing on the present moment has been used to quiet humans' capricious minds for thousands of years.
But I'm not even sure that mindfulness, like that doesn't always speak to me. Yesterday after school, we started playing some board games, you know, instead of the boys getting on their iPads. And they just had so much fun. Like we had such a nice time and we were just there with each other, you know?
Right, and you don't always have to go, ooh, I'm being mindful. You know, it's
Right.
just but that also comes with practice, you know?
Right. Right.
You want to do number 11?
Yeah, get gobsmacked by nature, laugh, play, and go with the flow. I love that. Look, that's what I'm doing. I'm going with the flow when I'm not honking.
Yeah, the phenomena called awe, the feeling of being in presence of something vast and greater than the self that exceeds current knowledge structures. So there's a several photos actually on the Apple TV box. When you're not watching any TV, it defaults to a screensaver essentially, with these amazing photos and drone video shots. And one of them is of the mountain called Half Dome. Is that in Yosemite or
Yeah,
Yellowstone?
I
Someone's
think
yelling
it's
back.
Yosemite.
And I look at that and I go, that's a sheer face. And at some point, half the mountain, I think all at once, it just fell off.
Right.
And is that from, then I was wondering, well, is that from water freezing and thawing? You know, how did it do that? And it's freaking amazing that how that thing happened. And it's just a force that is so much greater than me. And I'm like, oh, wow. I feel awe every time I see that when I'm in my living room.
I do. I love those pictures. They're amazing.
And I guess people want to climb that thing, but I'm like, I'm not. I'm like, let's just appreciate it for what it is. Let's not put any more of those pitons into that thing, you know?
Lest it fall down.
That would be bad.
Yeah. That movie about the guy going up there was, I couldn't watch it, but Brent said it was excellent.
Yeah, he was free climbing it. Is that the
Yeah.
one?
Is that, but that was El Capitan, I guess. Slightly different, but yes.
One of those.
Okay.
Wow.
Happiness. Okay.
Go ahead.
Happiness. Okay. Happiness has nothing to do with meaningfulness, according to some. While most well-meaning scientists laud the merits of a purposeful life, one study subverted this notion. Happiness was linked to being a taker rather than a giver, whereas meaningfulness went with being a giver rather than a taker.
I don't know.
I
I'm going
don't
to pass
either.
on that one.
I do too. Yeah, we can move on. Compassion is baked into our nervous system. Oh, I like that.
Yeah.
Oh, the vagus nerve is the longest nerve in the body's autonomic nervous system, a cord taking root at the top of the spinal cord and leading down to the gut.
Yes, Rick has talked about this. It affects your digestion and breathing, heart rate. And
When you're
I. Th
pregnant, you can't lay on your back because the baby will cut off your vagus nerve.
Oh.
You can't sleep on your back.
Wow, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I wouldn't know
Ha.
that. All right, cool.
Okay.
So if you guys have some thoughts about that, let us know. It's kind of fun to get emails and read them online. Let me know if you ever want to send me an email and you don't want it read. I never say anyone's name, but if you don't want it read on the show, please let me know ahead of time. I'm presuming if people want to share their thoughts, they want to share it on the podcast. But if you don't, and there's been a couple times I read them, I'm like, oh, this is not something that should be read on air. But it just makes me smile, and I write back.
I know, I love getting responses to my work. I was on one of my walks last year. Break, break, topic switch, everybody. I was on a walk last year, noticed this crepe myrtle had it was a mess. So I called the DC arborist for the area of the city that I live in. I think we have the same number of arborists as we do wards, so 8 of them. And the kid was, I call him a kid, whatever. The guy was very nice, but he was like, yep, we're not doing anything for that. That's called crepe myrtle scale. We're just going to see which ones live, which ones don't. And I was like a little taken aback. I was like, oh, that seems crazy. Well, I have a beautiful crepe myrtle in my yard, and then I have one on the boulevard, just in the sidewalk. And the sidewalk one, I noticed these little white fluffy things going up and down it. And so I've got the, it's got the scale. It's called crepe myrtle bark scale. So I was trying to figure out what to do about it. I guess I could wash the entire tree, which it's too large to wash. So I did buy some pesticides that were recommended by the Arkansas Extension Service. One you spray on the bark. I guess I should wash the tree first with soap and water, Dawn apparently, and then pour some stuff into the ground. And then it said something about making sure that the bottom of the crepe myrtles. I guess it crepe myrtles are supposed to have their a little bit of their roots exposed. It's not called the trunk. It had a different word, so I had to Google what that was. But so maybe I'm going to move some of the dirt around because I do have a lot of suckers on the bottom of that tree, which is very annoying because it's right in the sidewalk, and so I have to make sure I'm keeping and cutting those little suckers down. Otherwise, people can't walk on my sidewalk, which then I can get in trouble for. But I'd be interested if anybody has had any luck with that crepe myrtle scale and what to do, because I don't want to lose the tree.
Yeah, it does not look good.
No.
It does say if you do have a crepe myrtle with that scale, anything that you trim off that tree, or if you have to cut it down because it's dead, do not put that in a compost pile. Don't
Oh,
put it out on
right.
the curb. Put it in a regular garbage bag and put it in your regular trash. The same thing applies to a lot of invasive weeds. We have garlic mustard taking over our town, and I pull it up along my road, but a lot of people maybe don't know what it is or they don't bother, and it's taking over fields. And it's allelopathic, which means its roots send out a chemical that inhibits the growth of other plants and favors the growth of the garlic mustard. So you're changing the biosphere of your yard or field, you know. But for that, you also pull that up and put it in the trash. The reason for that is it creates seed pods very quickly, and you don't want any of that spreading. I think the seed pods can mature even after you pull it up. So,
well, along those lines, my roses in my yard had a virus. Now, listen, we all know I'm not a gardener, but I did research the virus and the roses, and there's a spray you're supposed to spray on them. So I ended up cutting back the roses, and I've just been following the directions on the spray bottle for the fungicide.
Mm-hmm.
But, which I don't know why it's a fungicide if it's a virus. So that's not 100% clear to me what I'm spraying for. But you can see the actual virus on the roses.
They are susceptible to a bunch of things. I've learned that roses should be kept in an area that has airflow, because humid air that kind of, you know, if it's a wet area or kind of a humid area that doesn't have a lot of airflow, the various funguses can settle on them and cause a problem.
Well, I I told my garden guys, I was like, let's cut them back. If they die, they die. If I can, you know, we'll just see what happens.
Aaron, the impatient gardener, is yelling back at the show right now.
Oh, but you know, my garden guys, they don't believe me when I tell them I want a lot of mulch because I listen to you.
I am going down. I become kind of fig tree obsessed. I have two fig trees in my Brooklyn yard. One is a brown turkey fig, which is a kind of a very common fig, and they are delicious. And the other is a Chicago hardy, which has enough hardiness that it will survive a Chicago winter. And last winter, it was mild, except there were 2 days when we got down to about 10 or 12 degrees, even in my backyard in Brooklyn, which is a big deal because it's a microclimate. It's a bunch of concrete, you know.
Right.
And this spring, the common fig, the brown turkey fig, the limbs were burnt back to maybe a foot above the ground. So they were just all withered and shrunk. So I cut all the limbs down to where there was live bark again. And it is sprouting from the base. More leaves are sprouting from the base. My Chicago hardy fig came through with flying colors and is about six times the size of the other one now.
Oh, my goodness.
But I want to make, I can't find any more potted Chicago hardy fig trees to buy. So I am going to try and root some cuttings from my Chicago hardy fig tree, and we'll see what happens.
Oh, fun. I love fig spread, and I generally love figs, but the whole wasp thing kind of freaks me out a little.
You know, that's not a problem here as far as wasps laying their eggs and parasitizing the figs themselves. That has not been a problem for me. But yeah, that can happen. That can happen to apples, you know.
Wait, I thought that every fig fruit had to have a wasp in it or something. Is that just like totally wrong?
I don't know.
Huh. Okay.
Some fig tree expert is going to tell us right now.
I'm excited about that.
Maybe Jimmy Gutz knows this. That would be good to hear from him. The other cool thing about fig trees is they're easy to root. You can, they essentially can root themselves because they send out runners underground, and you can just dig out that part of the plant, cut it back at the base, and you've got a new plant. Or you can put a pot, you can direct one of the young shoots that's coming maybe a foot off the ground or whatever into some soil that's already in a pot, and you abrade the bottom, whatever part of that limb, that flexible limb, is going to touch the soil. If it's got a hard bark, you can abrade it a little to loosen it up so the roots go out. Or you can just cut them and root them, or you can do that bag method where the limb is already on the tree. You cut back some of the surface bark, you wrap it in peat moss or sawdust, and then a plastic wrap bag, and you keep that moist over several months, and roots will grow into that bag. And then you just cut it, you cut at the bottom, and you've got a fig tree.
Okay, so which method are you trying?
I'm gonna do the rooting in some water, because to root into soil, you should do that starting in the winter, and I missed that time. But I'm going to take some green cuttings that are about a quarter inch to half inch thick, and you can put them in water, evidently, and they are supposed to be able to root.
Oh, fun. Now, Can you grow a fig from a fig?
I believe so, but I'd have to check on that.
Huh.
I don't know everything. I'm just kind of fig tree
Well, yeah, no,
obsessed.
this is fun. I'm excited about this. This will be great. I'm sorry about that. Okay.
Next on your list is a home fire safety list.
Yes. So, I read, my daily newsletters. Somebody came across the DC fire, an EMS, list of things you should do. Now, I sent it to you and Rick. And I thought it was quite a good list of different things you should make sure are taken care of. Of course, smoke alarms, carbon monoxide detector, make sure the windows open easily. This is more of a city problem, but that the windows that have security bars on them are releasable from the inside.
Yes.
No exposed electrical wiring. The only thing, then it goes on. You can post the link in the show notes. But the one thing that was missing was not leaving your lithium ion batteries plugged in without attendance.
Yes, I have an e-bike, and when I charge my battery, it's during the day, and it's usually in the kitchen or my office, and so I can keep an eye on it. And then I
Yeah.
actually set a timer in my phone to beep it after 4 hours, and I go over and unplug it.
Yeah, I've forgotten to do mine overnight and worried about, felt dumb about it in the morning. So yeah, I've got to, yeah. And my bike's 9 years old, so I do have a newer battery. I've had to replace the battery, but I do need to pay better attention to that one.
This is a controversial subject, but a key thing about the batteries for e-bikes and scooters and things is in New York here, they're actually catching fire and setting apartments on fire. But the problem is you have to make sure you have a battery that is, I believe, UL listed. Like my battery is from Rad Power Bikes. It's a high quality battery. And if you're buying a knockoff battery and it's made cheaply, it seems from what I'm reading, those are the ones that are causing fires. Is
Right.
if you know if you cheap out, you could set your house on fire. So that would be
Well,
bad.
not to pivot back to the electric car show, but you sent me a cute picture of you at a Tesla charging station, and you looked like Wes Anderson.
Oh, yes. I'm trying to make a video about my experience with my non-Tesla car charging at a Tesla supercharger station, because there's one on my way to the little house. Is part of a pilot project by Tesla to allow non-Tesla cars to charge at their charging stations, and it was just kind of a fun photo, which I could share actually with everybody. And they I'm gonna make a video about it, but it's interesting that, and this is not to denigrate all Tesla owners, because Helen, who's a recent patron now, is a new patron, is a Tesla owner. But the people that come to charge their Teslas, they get out of the car, they plug it in, and then they get back into the car and they stare at their phone. And I'm kind of like, oh, and I'm standing outside the car and I was like, hey, how's it going? How are you? And it just got back into the car. And I'm like, what's with that?
That's weird.
It might just be the people, not the car.
Yeah, no, that's true.
But I've shot footage twice while charging the car, and I don't think I've really got the I don't it's not really clicking in the video how I want to explain charging at a Tesla station, because it's quite a bit different.
Oh,
So
really?
yeah, you have to stay
Okay,
tuned
well,
for
I can't
that.
wait to, yeah, I'm gonna wait there, yeah.
If you I think if you just use the internet, you can type in Tesla superchargers charging other vehicle. I can't remember the phrasing, but you have to download the Tesla app, and then you're at that Tesla supercharger, and it'll, you share your location, and it goes. And I had eight chargers to choose from, and it's a little clunky to get the adapter auto attaches itself to the cable and blah blah blah, but you can
So
make it happen.
did you buy the adapter, or is it there?
No, it's there. It's part of the charging tower.
Oh, because we have this gigantic bank of Tesla chargers, but I'm gonna see if I can charge the Leaf there. Maybe it's part of the program.
if you Tesla has a lot of what are called level two chargers, which is the same you would put in your garage. And those require you to buy an adapter, from Amazon or whatever. Don't buy the cheap ones. But this supercharger requires a much different adapter because it also, your adapter has to take over the two DC fast charging outlets in the at your charging port with just the two big round ones at the bottom if you have an electric car. So yeah, it was a, it's a, it is a successful experience. The kilowatt hour charge is higher than any other, but the charge is faster and it's very convenient because it's right next to a Dunkin' Donuts.
I don't know. I love it. So, how long does it take it to charge?
Well, it just depends on how empty your battery is, but it will charge. I think I was charging over 120 miles per hour of charge.
Okay.
And
So that's fast, yeah.
we stopped there maybe 20 minutes just to top it up because it's in cooler weather, your battery is not nearly as efficient. And so we just topped it up because we need to stop and walk the dogs anyway, halfway up. And I need to use the bathroom and I buy a decaf coffee. It's very exciting, middle age, but we usually find a charging station because we can get out to get the dogs out and top up the car. It's just a little fun thing.
Well, I have to say I was a little frustrated. excuse me, went to charge at a place where I had charged before, plugged it in, and they're going to have to start posting the charges because they charged me $20 just for plugging in, and then I was charged my per kilowatt whatever.
Oh, wow.
I was pretty torqued,
But
because it
you
just.
responded rather than reacted, I hope.
I mean, there was nobody for me to react to, but I was surprised that, because I hadn't been charged that $20 before. It
I've
was
never seen that, yeah.
very high.
Huh.
Yeah.
Interesting. All right. There you go. If you guys have some thoughts about the wide variety of things we just talked about, we would love to hear from you. If you have some ways to respond rather than react, or if you've got some fun stories about not doing that, that's always fun to hear. Radio at gardenfork.tv is our hotline, I guess you would call it.
Yes.
Nicole, where you can be found? Where can you be found?
Well, you can see my photography at NicoleHarkin.com or my writing at NicoleHarkinWriting.com. And of course, I'd love for everybody to read my book,
Yeah.
Tilting a Memoir.
A number of people have bought the book after listening to the show.
Yeah, I appreciate that too, guys. Thank
That's
you.
cool. All right, in the after show, if you're interested in becoming a member, a patron of Garden Fork, we do a bonus episode after every podcast. Information about that is in the show notes or at patreon.com/gardenfork. I also send out to the patrons photos, thoughts, stuff every week. And I'm going to tell a story this time about a Jeep pulling up next to me and then catching on fire. The Jeep on fire, not me.
What? Okay, I'm ready. I'm here for this.
Oh, and you're a patron, so you can be in on this.
Yay.
And you're a guest, so you could be in on it too. All right, everyone, it's always fun to hear from you. Radio at gardenfork.tv. I'll see you. Garden Fork Radio is produced by Garden Fork Media LLC in Brooklyn, New York. Our executive producer is Jimmy Goots. For more information about Jimmy and the custom hollow books he makes, visit hollowbooks.com. The music in the show is licensed from audioblocks.com and uniquetracks.com. Thank you.